All right, it is top of the hour. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Marissa Reynoso. I am the marketing manager here at PCI Pharma Services. I'm here with Rich Nelson, our senior manager of global logistics, who is here to talk to us today about importing clinical supplies into South America and what some of the trade-offs might be when you think about the timing when you need to supply a trial that is happening down there. Before I turn it over to Rich, I do want to let you know that if you have a question, if you can submit it through our chat function on the toolbar, that would be fantastic. If you are not able to access that chat function, and I know people have and telling me they've had some trouble doing that. If you look on the screen, there is a phone number on there. That is my cell phone number. If you want to text message or iMessage me, if you are not in the States or Canada, you can use WhatsApp as well, and I will input your question to the chat so Rich can answer it. While Rich is introducing the subject, if you can find your way to the chat function, let us know what country you're interested in learning about. That would be fantastic. All right, Rich, I'm turning it over to you.
Thanks, Marissa. Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Rich Nelson. I'm the PCI Senior Manager of Global Logistics for our clinical operations based out of Rockford, Illinois. I also support our operations in San Diego and in Ontario, Canada, from a moving your materials around point of view. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning. I greatly appreciate you dropping in and spending a little bit of time with us. I will try to cover as much as I can in the time that we have. And as Marissa said, if you have any questions, if you could type them into the chat, I actually watch the chat window go by, so I will try to respond to them as soon as they pop up and hopefully get you guys the information that you're looking for. So today we were going to talk about South America a bit. South America is interesting. The first thing I always try to do when I talk about South America is correct a very common misconception, and that is the geopolitical structure of South America. People look at South America and they say, okay, Argentina is right next to Brazil, Peru and Chile are neighbors. You know, it's not that big of an area. It's probably going to be able to just be, you know, handled with, you know, one location and everything can ship everywhere else. And like, sort of like how the EU functions. It couldn't be further from that in all reality. Just because the countries are neighbors does not mean that it's actually easy to move material from one country within South America to another. It's actually easier to ship to Argentina from the United States and Brazil from the United States than it is to ship from Argentina into Brazil or vice versa, even though they're right next to each other. There's a lot of geopolitical issues between a lot of the countries down there that make it, like I said, easier to trade with the U.S. than it is to trade amongst themselves. So because of that, the result is that the entire region, really with the exception of Colombia, is dependent upon individual in-country depots. Argentina, Chile, Brazil, Peru, Colombia, they all have individual locations because, like I said, trading between the countries is more difficult than sending material directly out of the U.S. into those countries. So I've seen a couple different places pop up that people wanted some info on. So I'm just going to start with Argentina because that was first on the list. So Argentina is probably, in my opinion, the most difficult country in the world to ship into right now. Their infrastructure for the purposes of importation is incredibly long, and it is not consistent, which is the biggest problem. And that problem actually exists in a number of countries, not just Argentina. But we can set up a shipment of material wait 3 or 4 weeks to get permission to actually ship it while the import license is approved, get all our paperwork, all our documentation and everything squared away, have the materials sent down, take another 2 weeks to get through customs, and finally get the shipment delivered to our depot. And then, so, you know, a 4 to 6 week process that we follow. And then a month later, have another shipment of exactly the same material where we try to use exactly the same documentation, and the documentation won't be correct anymore. We'll have to make changes to the information we have listed. We'll have to make changes to the descriptions on the invoice. And that is simply a matter of different people processing the shipment as it arrives in country. Different customs inspectors, different government people, you know, validating the import permit. So it's not a consistent process. And because of that, you can get delays where you think you have something figured out, but only for the person who inspected the first shipment. The second person wants something different. Marissa, I seem to have lost being pinned. Sorry about that, just some internal technical difficulties. Again, back to Argentina, the inconsistency is a big problem with shipping down there. The other problem is just speed of action. And that's related to the application for the import permit. That's related to customs, clearance times. Nothing happens fast. In fact, Argentina is kind of notorious in my book for having one-day labor strikes, where the Customs Bureau will literally go on strike for 1 day, or just the part of 1 day. Sometimes it corresponds with when an important soccer game is on, but it still sets the process back quite a bit. When you're waiting for your shipment to get cleared, customs agency goes on strike for 1 day or 2 days, and then they come back to work. They have a backlog. Your stuff is stuck in the backlog, and there's nothing that anyone can do to, you know, push yourself up to the front of the line. So between those two things, between the amount of time it takes to get anything done, and the inconsistency in their processes, it just makes shipping to Argentina, like I said, probably the most difficult country in the world, to the point that I suggest to customers that you anticipate from the moment you ask your PCI or your packaging vendor to send a shipment to their Argentina depot, from the point in time where that shipment is raised and we start processing it, to the time that it's going to be available at the depot, you should anticipate that taking 4 to 6 weeks. Because again, it's a very inconsistent process that I can't get any control over. I can't introduce any past practices or best practices to improve the process. So, It can be a very frustrating and long and drawn out process. So moving from Argentina to Brazil, because they were the next one that was listed that came up in my question chat bar. Brazil is also incredibly challenging, incredibly time consuming, and also poses some back end difficulties that a lot of customers don't know about and may not have planned for. But I'll start at the beginning. They also have a very lengthy, they're working on improving it, so I'll give them credit for that, but they also have a very lengthy process of getting the shipment approved. Usually 2 or 3 weeks just to get permission to, once we've, you know, prepared the shipment, just getting 2 or 3 weeks go by just getting permission to send the shipment to Brazil. What makes Brazil better than Argentina, in my opinion, is that once it gets there, it does clear quickly. There's not really a delay in the customs clearance process like there is in Argentina. But getting that initial permission to ship usually takes several weeks. The descriptions that are used on commercial invoice have to match identically to whatever was in the clinical trial application that was submitted by the CRO. If we don't have access to that, which we typically don't, we have to go back and forth to make sure that we're getting the descriptions exactly the way that the importer of record is asking them for. So there's often a lot of back and forth between us as the exporter and whomever the importer is going to be, and that importer's custom broker who is, you know, going to be doing the filing. The next step of difficulty with Brazil is very similar to Argentina in that the next time you do something, you would think that, okay, once you do something, once you've established a process, you've established the outline of how that's going to work, and that should repeat itself. But again, much like Argentina, it doesn't. There are a lot of times where we'll make repeat shipments, and what worked on shipment number one does not work for shipment number two because, again, a different customs officer or a different Ministry of Health official is looking at the paperwork and they want it to be something different. So just getting the material in, again, can be a challenge. Then the other part of my, you know, what I teased at the beginning of this particular part of the discussion is on the back end of your study. Brazilian regulations require that you, as the sponsor, make your material, your investigational material, available to any patient that was part of the study for as long as they want it, for as long as it's effective for them. So if you recruit patients, you're planning on, you know, running the study there for 18 months, and then the study's going to be over, you've got to still provide ongoing treatment of your medication to those patients if they want it for the rest of their lives. That is a huge, huge undertaking if you put it into the perspective of, you know, if you're running a pediatric study and those people are going to live for 50 or 60 years, you still have to be continuing to supply them with you know, medication and care for the duration of their life or until they decide they don't want it anymore, which if it's not working, then, you know, they're probably not going to want it anymore. So, but it can really put a burden on you as a sponsor to have to maintain a supply chain and a supply level in a country that you're no longer running a trial in. So that's always something that you need to take into consideration with Brazil. The next countries that were listed, Jade asked for some information on Central America, Honduras, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Panama, El Salvador, Dominican Republic. Okay. All of those countries, thank you for the question, all of those countries are different from the South American countries in respect to, we can ship to those countries directly from the U.S. We don't need depots for those countries. Because it's all related to their customs window. The customs clearance process for those countries is actually pretty easy to navigate. The difficulty with any of those countries is that the importer of record, so the person who's responsible for getting that customs clearance and filing for the customs and paying for any taxes that are assessed, pretty much has to be the investigator. Most countries, the CRO functions as the IOR. But in those Central American countries, from my experience, every time we've worked on studies there for sponsors, the sites have had to be their own importers of record, and that's just centered around the way that their regulations are formed. So if you need an import permit, the site has to get that. If you need customs clearance performed, the site has to facilitate that. If you need taxes paid, the site has to facilitate that. And a lot of sites are not able to do that. They aren't prepared for it. They don't know how. So because of the difficulties and complexities of all those functions around the importation, we don't actually see a lot of studies being run in those countries, in that Central American band. It's kind of like, you know, Mexico is a very popular country, and then everything kind of just stops somewhat until you get to Colombia, because Mexico and Colombia are both pretty easy countries to ship into, but all those ones in the middle, they just become more complicated because of the need for the investigators and for the sites to function in ways that they're not accustomed to or capable of doing. We do change a few practices ourselves to try to help sponsors when they do need those countries or they want to use those countries, typically around paying taxes, where we'll set things up so that any of the taxes that might be incurred during the import process, instead of the investigator having to pay them, we can pay them on behalf of the customer, through the use of specific what are called Incoterms. But again, the government interaction having to be managed by the investigator is unfortunately something we can't help with, and usually ends up being a rate limiting factor in how many sites and how many studies in general are run in those Central American countries.
Rich, I have a question for you.
Okay.
We have a lot of people dialing in from Europe, and you've mentioned how it's easy to transport things directly from the U.S. to Central America. Do you have any insight into is it just as simple to move things from Europe to Central America or South America?
It is. There's no additional complexities shipping from our UK facility to any of our depot partners in South or Central America. The only real difficulty that there is with shipping from the UK would be that when the CTAs are filed in most of these countries that we're talking about, you have to say where the material is going to be imported from. So PCI's standard of setting up management of the Western Hemisphere from Rockford, you can't, if we set it up to ship from one place and that's what's in the CTA that was filed with the Ministry of Health, you can't switch to the UK. But if you set up to ship from the UK to begin with, there's no additional difficulties associated with coming from someplace else. Unfortunately, there's also no additional things that make it easier. There's no more relaxed regulations for material coming from the UK than there would be from coming from the US, but there's no additional difficulties either. So basically, if it would come down to preference, well, we're setting up the network plan for that study as to who would ship to those countries, because we do have some studies that we run where, you know, Brazil materials are sent from our UK offices as opposed to the US running it. So it's really, again, just a decision that we would make with our customers based on where do you want your bulk, you know, the main bulk of your material being stored, in the US or the UK, and then they would ship it out from around there.
And if someone has a limited drug supply, would you recommend that they ship it to South or Central America on an as-needed basis, or would you recommend getting it there way in advance if possible?
That's a really difficult balance to maintain, because the same way as so it's a really difficult balance to maintain, because once material goes into a lot of those countries, it doesn't come back out again. So you need to figure out where the balance point, the tipping point of how much medication can I send versus, or do I need, against how much medication can I afford to have die, which means you sent it down there, you didn't recruit as well as you wanted to, or you were hoping you were going to, and now you have medication that's stuck there. You can't get it back out again, and it's just there. So that's a real difficult balance to maintain, because there's no such thing as an urgent shipment to a lot of these countries. It takes too long to get it there. So if you have a low amount of supply and you know you're going to have shortages, some of these countries are probably better off avoided as far as being in the study altogether than, and, you know, looking for alternate countries that can provide the same types of demographics than trying to use the depots that we have, because again, you run the risk then of sending material down that is not going to get used and then you can't get back. So that's a really tough balance point to worry about.
Got it. Thanks.
So I think I covered I'm just going to check real quick to make sure I covered everything that people specifically asked me to talk about.
We had someone ask about Germany. I know that wasn't part of this discussion, but can you give a 1 minute description of importing to Germany?
So moving material to Germany, there is again not overly difficult at all. The most complicated part of shipping into Germany is the need for a QP release that has to be issued by an EU qualified person. So you have to make sure that you're working with a storage and distribution partner that can provide that QP release, because once the material reaches Germany, the depot or whoever wouldn't be able to send it out or use it until it's been fully QP released. And that's just a matter of providing, you know, the manufacturing chain of audit proof and documentation of quality production methods throughout the life cycle of the material and the confirmation that the facilities that were used, you know, are GMP compliant and they have been audited and so on and so forth. So that QP requirement is really the only thing that's necessary for getting material into Germany. If you have a vendor that has EU-based facilities, such as, you know, PCI, or pretty much any of the major, you know, clinical packaging organizations, once you move material into one of their depots in the EU, then you can ship within the EU without any further even customs windows. So the QP release that would be done, you know, by PCI in Wales would cover all the countries in the EU, and then they could ship within the EU without any additional customs windows. That's the way things still are for right now. We don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end of the year when the Brexit cushion evaporates, but PCI also has a facility in Ireland and also now in Germany itself to compensate for that, and so we can move operations if necessary into those locations to avoid any additional customs clearance processes that might come in a post-Brexit world. What's the success rate for applying for an exception in Brazil to overrule the IMP for life supply of a patient? Unfortunately, Yvonne, I have no idea what the answer to that question would be, because providing that medication is a regulatory requirement, and PCI is not a regulatory entity, so we're not involved in that. That's something you'd be better off asking your CRO. I don't honestly even know if an exception to that regulation exists. Because again, you know, we would be the ones that would supply the medication, get it down there for you, but the actual interactions with the government as to whether or not you need to conform to it is something that, you know, we wouldn't be involved in. So I'm sorry that I can't give you a better answer than that.
All right. So thank you, Rich, everyone. If you have any more questions for Rich, please input them into the chat. We do have a few more minutes. Again, if you are not able to use the chat, if you look on the screen, there's a number that you can WhatsApp me at, or iMessage or text me at, and I will ask Rich that question. But while I'm giving you a few minutes to think of any last minute questions you may have for Rich, I do want to share our upcoming schedule. So we are taking a break next week, and in a minute I will tell you why. Next week there will not be a water cooler chat. However, the following week I'm very happy to announce that we will be having a special water cooler chat. This one will be on a Wednesday at the same time, not a Thursday. But on Wednesday, May 27th, we will be looking at the impact of COVID-19 on clinical supply chains. And our associate manager of distribution, Thomas Johnson, will be leading that. We also have someone from World Courier who will be joining us to talk about what distribution trends they are seeing being impacted by COVID-19. So if you haven't signed up for that, and most of you probably haven't because it's just been announced, if you can go to jemmy.pciservices.com/water and register for that, we will see you in a week. We do have quite a full schedule. After that May 27th, we'll see you again on the 4th of June to talk about active blister solutions. If you are looking for a way to control humidity or moisture in your blister packs, we do have a new technology that we want to share with you and talk about how we can help to extend the shelf life of your drug products. On the 11th of June, we will be reviewing cell and gene therapy supply strategies. Even though many cell and gene therapy trials don't have a large number of patients, it is one of the more complex and tedious supply strategies, just because you have to get it right. So what can the sponsor do? What does PCI do to ensure that the right donor cells get to the right patient? If you can join us for that, that'd be fantastic. On June 18th, we'll be reviewing clinical supply solutions for small companies with our lead from San Diego, Mark Schapansky. And then on June 25th, Rich will be back again to talk through clinical materials evaluation and HTS coding for clinical materials in the US. And then on July 9th, Gavin Morgan, Rich's counterpart in the UK, will be doing the same thing, but for the EU. So if any of these sound of interest to you, please do register at pciservices.com/water. Rich, I just had another question come in. What are the issues in Chile, Colombia, Peru, or are these the same issues as Central America's?
All right, so real quickly, Colombia is actually quite easy. We can even manage a study in shipments in Colombia without a depot. We could ship directly from, Rockford or Bridgend or wherever, directly to the sites in Colombia because of the way that their import permit is structured, where they have an umbrella that covers all the shipments being made over a 6-month period or a 1-year period, depending on which permit you have. So Colombia is actually much easier than the other countries involved. Chile is not overly difficult either. The reason we always have to use a depot for Chile is because of a process they have there called a use and destination form, which cannot be filed for until after the shipment arrives in the country, and it takes approximately 15 days for it to be issued. So every shipment that comes in, this use and destination form has to be issued, and you have to wait 2 weeks before the depot can then reship the material to the sites. It's essentially like a local IRB approval of the material itself. And without it, you can't distribute the material. So there's no way to move quickly into Chile. Peru, again, not overly difficult, just a bit time consuming. Waiting for permission to ship into Peru takes, again, a couple of weeks. I know I talked a lot about difficulties, and I didn't actually get a chance to talk about solutions. The real solution for all these countries, the real story for all these countries, is they can all be done. They're all achievable goals. They're all usable countries. They just need time and communication between you as the sponsor us as your distributor and whomever your importer of record is, which should be your CRO in those countries. There just needs to be a lot of communication between those groups to get things done ahead of when the material is actually needed. And the process of getting the material there needs to be started way earlier than it does for pretty much anywhere else in the world. So I don't want to give the impression that these countries can't be done, that they're not achievable. It's just a matter of them being needing more planning, needing more communication than your average, you know, country that's involved. I did see one more question from, hi Bev, I hope you're doing well. Moving materials into Nepal is always difficult because of the way China kind of interrupts that process. You really need a customized supply chain to Nepal because the materials there it's a very tenuous geopolitical situation where China tries to put influence on whatever you're doing versus, you know, just being able to move material directly to the site. So it would be something that we would really have to work on tailoring a customized supply chain for specifically for there.
Okay. All right.
I don't have anything recent to say yes we can or no we can't, but I know it can be done. It's just, like I said, a customized solution.
Okay. Sorry, Rich, didn't mean to cut you off there, but thank you for adding that in. So everyone, that we are a little bit past our time, just one more thing I want to promote. The reason why we're not having another water cooler chat next week is because we are starting a trilogy, if you are interested in clinical to commercial synergies, starting next week with our partners, AMRI Global, Cardinal Health, and Biocom. Next week, AMRI Global will be talking about drug synthesis. What are the aspects of drug synthesis that you need to consider if your end goal is to commercialize versus just license it? And then on the 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, PCI will be leading a clinical to commercial synergies webinar if you want to join for that. So if you are interested in joining these webinars, please go to our partner site at go.amriglobal.com/biocom2020.html. That is going to be a trilogy. The last one is going to be run by Cardinal Health, and they're going to talk about FDA marketing application and what are some pitfalls of applying for the IND that people tend to overlook. So I'm going to leave this slide up for a while because I know that URL is a little bit long. But thank you, everyone, so much for joining us. We will be sending out a survey after this so that you can tell us what else you would like to be interested in hearing from Rich and the PCI team. Until then, have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.